right. Metallica Seek and Destroy, because for going on 5 years now, we here at Discussion of Truth, that is Ian Trottier, seek to destroy corruption at all levels, government, big box corporations. How about healthcare, folks? Healthcare, global pandemic in the name of, what? The genocide argues, Michael Swinwood out of Ottawa. He'll be joining George Webb and I here in about 15 minutes. I will be joining George Webb in just a few seconds here. The George Webb Show. Not sure what his program is called. Later on, though, folks, Discussion of Truth will be hosting Willie Montague, running for Florida Congress. And then at that 3 o'clock mark, 3:15 mark, Allie Boyd, who is a conservative voice. Not sure where she's based, Tennessee, California. Not exactly sure, but what we do know are that 75 million Americans voted for Donald Trump, and the majority of them feel that their election was stolen. What we do know is that there is election fraud on many, many levels, and that voting machines that are linked to the Rockefeller Foundation and the Rothschild family out of the United Kingdom have been arguably, this is by much proof, rigging elections in Latin America for a few decades. So something is happening in the world, in the United States, and the world is rapidly changing. So here we go. We're joining George Webb here, who joined me live, by the way, from Tulsa last week. So let's go with George here. You'll find this video on his website. Linking in here to George Webb. Okay, let's see here. Display name, and I will enter the broadcast right now.
Oh, there, I heard him.
George. Is the video... okay, here we go. Can you see me yet?
Okay.
Oh, you know what? I've got to sign up here. Hold on a second. So I've got to... It looks like I've got to create an account. Can you hear me? Okay. So I create an account here on StreamYard, and one moment, George. Okay, let's get this here code.
There's Ian.
Okay,
how you doing,
George? Hi, I'm doing well. It looks like I've got to create an account. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you great.
Oh, okay. So I've just created an account, and can you see me?
Yes. Yeah, I can see it. You don't need to create an account on StreamYard to just be a client. You can just use this web client. You don't need to become a member of StreamYard. You're fine right now.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. Well, here I am.
So, yeah. Yeah, there you are. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, that's the important thing. George, just so you know, via your production team, I have sent an access link to this discussion to Michael Swinwood, who's suing the World Health Organization. And so in about 15 minutes, I'm expecting him to enter this talk with us.
Great. We're expecting him. We're going to add him easily in. StreamYard makes it easy. So, yeah.
Cool. And I really appreciate you joining me from Tulsa last week. What an incredible event that was, and we went live with Pure Social TV. If any of your viewers or anyone viewing this right now interested in that, Pure Social TV has got that running right now. It's up and running.
Let's talk about that straight up. We're not live yet, but we're going to go live, and we have a little role that we play at the front of this, and then we're right into Ian Trottier.
Excellent.
Okay, here we go. And you'll roll. Okay, hello everyone. Welcome to the Blackberry Roadshow. I'm George Webb, and I have an incredible guest who was in Tulsa last week with Michael Flynn and Patrick Byrne and all those kind of stars of the all right. His name is Ian Trottier. He's a longtime radio and host, YouTube host. He's just launching a new platform called Pure Social, and he's an author. So we got a lot to talk about with Ian Trottier.
Thank you. Thank you, George. Very kind of you. Thanks for the introduction.
So how is your French? Everybody knows your Quebecois. So how is your French?
très peu. Very little. I don't speak any French. Yeah, I
okay.
don't speak any French.
So you were born in Quebec, correct?
No. I'm an American. I'm an American by birth. I was born in California. I'm fourth generation Californian. I've been in Florida for about 10 years now. But the Trottier name, and via my website, which is probably where you're getting this, my family was one of the first in the 1600s to settle in Quebec. My great-grandfather, 15 generations, I believe, back, was commissioned by a group, thank you, by a group, and he out of Quebec, he left La Rochelle aboard Le Cardinal in 1645. He landed in 1646, and he was contracted to help build that city. So many of the early inhabitants from that era are from his seat, if you will, and that is Trottier. So everyone in my line, of course, has been a male from his sons to his sons to grandsons and whatever it may be. But Trottier is the last name, and that there you're showing right now is my great aunt. And now there's a little blurb on her because she was a witness. I believe it is in Montreal. She was a witness to a great fire. I think there was what's referred to as, well, even in San Francisco in 1906, there was a great fire in San Francisco. So some of these cities, these great cities in America, so Montreal, and she was a witness that condoned a woman that was working auspiciously for one of the folks there in Montreal. It's a bit of an intriguing subject for those interested in history, but that's my French ancestry. Now there was Gilles Trottier the second is who I'm from. Gilles Trottier the first never left France, and then beyond his line, I simply don't know, George, where the Trottier name comes from, but from my understanding, it is as it implies. It's someone who rides a horse. It is similar to, of course, the trotter without the IER. So Trottier, like Perrier water. But many folks have the name trotter, and that is one who rides a horse, from my understanding. And then the Trottier is more or less someone who is a path leader of those horsemen. That's my understanding. It's simply art. Yeah, and a lot of your hockey fans out there may recognize the name Brian Trottier. Of course, he's won 8 Stanley Cups, I think, throughout a playing and coaching career. So it's a notable name in the Northeast. But my line, of course, is from California and San Francisco. Fourth generation in San Francisco. And as a matter of fact. George, I was born in the city of Oakland, and just another historical interest: the neighborhood of Oakland. There is a neighborhood of Oakland that was actually named Brooklyn, just like Brooklyn, New York, and it was named after Brooklyn, New York, that I believe was named by the Dutch settlers. Of course, New Amsterdam is the name for New York. Previous to the naming of New York, the British had colonized it, but they had taken it. They had colonized it from the Dutch. So the original name of New York was New Amsterdam. That's where the name Wall Street actually comes from, and that's where the name Brooklyn comes from. So there's an old neighborhood that was encompassed into Oakland called Brooklyn. It was named after a ship called Brooklyn that left Brooklyn, New York, at around the time of 1847, something like that, just before the gold rush in California. That's a lot of history there for you.
I love it. Well, seeing as how you're a leader of the pack with the Trottier name, let's bring in our other guest here, which is Mr. Swinburne. And you set this up. This is a very big story about suing the WHO. And so I'll let you introduce Michael Swinwood, excuse me, and we'll go from there.
Now, it's interesting how things are working in a high-tech age. And Michael, thank you for joining us. Nice to have you. There is someone that I've connected. Initially, I started my show, George, about 5 years ago, and a woman that's fighting something called colony collapse disorder with the dying honeybees contacted me on Twitter. Recently, someone else had contacted me on Twitter, and that's how you and I, George, had connected. Now, threading in Michael into this, that same individual who's in Canada, and I spent some time in Canada recently, and actually in Calgary, Michael, in Banff, and just the Canadian Rockies are spectacular. But this same person, different from the original person I speak of, but this person that introduced me, essentially, or connected George and I in an indirect way, also sent me a clip on what Michael is currently doing in Ottawa. Now, Ottawa, of course, for viewers, is the capital for Canada. And I immediately saw what Michael was doing because it aligns with everything that I've recently added up here from a global economic perspective. I immediately reached out to Michael, who's a practicing attorney in Ottawa, and he very nicely accepted that invitation. So here we are. We have brought George and Michael together, and we are going to discuss a really phenomenal topic here that is very pressing. So without further ado, thank you, George, and I'd like to thread in and introduce Mr. Michael Swinwood. Michael, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I hope you don't mind my attire. I'm talking to you from the Sacred Valley in Peru. It's a little chilly here today, so I'm donning my warm clothes. I guess what you want to hear from me is what the lawsuit that we launched on January 11th, 2021 is about.
Yes, that's of great interest.
Okay. So, we started a class action January 11th, 2021, with a Native person, a garage owner, an entrepreneur, a person, John Doe, so that we could include other classes as we came along. And who we sued are the Pope, the Jesuits, the Queen of England, the Order of the Garter, the WHO, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Gavi, and the Prime Minister of Canada and his health advisor, the Premier of Ontario and his health advisor, and the Mayor of the City of Ottawa. And what we've done in this lawsuit is we have alleged that wrongdoing is flowing from all of these defendants, and in particular that harm is being visited upon ordinary people in the country. It's throughout the world, but it's essentially they're being harmed to all the people, all the citizens. What we did in there is provide a history lesson. And the first and foremost thing, people right away, they say, oh, you're suing the Pope and you're suing the Queen. What a ridiculous thing. Which is a commentary coming from people who don't know history. And we have to go back to 1215 to understand the history. Of course, at that time, the Holy Roman Emperors were the popes. And what happened in 1215 is that the King of England was excommunicated by the Pope, and this did not sit well with the King of England. And so the King of England went back on hands and knees begging the Pope to let him back in. And the Pope said, I'll let you back in, but you must give us an oath of fealty in perpetuity, binding your heirs and successors. And so the King of England agreed, and the oath of fealty, I'll paraphrase it a bit, says, I, King of England, hereby give up the sovereignty of Great Britain and Ireland to the Pope in perpetuity, and will annually, and it will bind my heirs and successors, and we will pay an annual stipend on behalf of Great Britain and on behalf of Ireland. That oath of fealty continues today. The Queen of England is bound by that oath of fealty. And so therefore the Queen of England reports to the Pope. Now the Pope in 1534 was given an army, and that army is the Jesuits. The Jesuits were put together by Ignatius of Loyola in 1544. And he drew up a constitution on behalf of the Jesuits. That constitution remained secret until 1775, when the French government, having had enough of the Jesuits and their manipulations, essentially booted them out of the country, and in doing so ended up in the head rector's residence, and there found the constitution of the Jesuits. And it was published in the French Parliament for the first time. The end justifies the means comes from the Jesuit Constitution. You can kill, murder, adulterate, cheat, lie, do whatever it is that you need to do in the name of Jesus on behalf of the agenda of the Pope. The Jesuits have a reputation throughout the world of intervention, infiltration into government. To understand the Jesuit makeup, one has to study many, many books, which I have. One being The Secret of the Jesuits, written by an ex-priest of the Jesuits in the 1800s, chronicling, in those days, their plans for world domination. The Queen, because she reports to the Pope, also has her own organization, which is a biggest Freemason organization in the world, and that is the Order of the Garter. Now, the Order of the Garter was put together in 1344 by the king, surrounding himself with Lord Barons so that, in essence, he could have all the land holdings surrounding him and he could surround himself with the elite. The elite, which of course is what we're dealing with today. So the Order of the Garter has a symbol and a motto. The symbol is a crown in the middle with a lion on its hind legs straddling the crown, with a reptilian tongue and a reptilian tail. And on the other side of the crown is the unicorn with a chain across its body. And the motto in the middle says, "Oni sua humanitas." Shame on him who thinks evil of it. The most recent induction into the Order of the Garter was Prince William. April 20th, actually, is the day of the Order of the Garter. Now, the Order of the Garter, being Freemason, and the Jesuits being under a Catholic Pope, one would think they're in opposition, that they do not cooperate together, but this is nonsense. They fully cooperate together and they fully work together in order to achieve their ends. In order to understand the Jesuits really deeply, one should read a book by John Eric Phelps, Phelps, entitled The Vatican Assassins, The Army of the Pope. Innovations from 1544 right through to, I'd say, about 1980. On page 10 of that book by John Eric Phelps, he chronicles the conspirators who assassinated John F. Kennedy. In that Rogues Gallery, we find John Dulles, the head of the CIA. We find Cardinal Spellman from New York, Jesuit, and about 10 others who were pretty well all CIA, and all of them were Knights of Malta. one would be prompted to change the acronym CIA from Central Intelligence Agency to Catholic Intelligence Agency. One should be aware of three states that are city states all by themselves in the world. City of London, which is a city state, and there we'll get Bank of England and the financing goes on. Then go to the state of the Vatican in Rome, which is a city state onto itself. And then we'll go to Washington, D.C., District of Columbia. District of Columbia comes about because of the Organic Act of 1871, which is a merger of the town of Washington with the District of Georgetown. The District of Georgetown was the headquarters of the Jesuits in the United States. So that the Jesuits are firmly embedded in the United States of America. And they pretty well run the show when it comes to government. There's other interconnections that should be made here, and that is the Rothschilds, because they lent a ton of money to Rome in 1840, became the banker for the Vatican. And the Rothschilds with the Vatican owned the Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, all sorts of buildings that would surprise the hell out of them. And the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers are hand in hand working together. We should know that in October of 2020, the Pope issued a papal encyclical letter. This is just below a papal bull. A papal bull is legislation from Rome, setting out what the faithful have to do. It's legislation in essence. An encyclical letter, on the other hand, is something just below a papal bull. It's a pronouncement of policy or philosophy. In the encyclical letter of October 2020, entitled Fratelli Tutti, which means brothers all, if you took that encyclical letter and put beside it the Communist Manifesto of Engels and Marx, you will see incredible similarities. At the end of the encyclical letter, the Pope says this: all nations should be prepared to give up their sovereignty and go under one world government under the United Nations for one world order. You can read it yourself. It's in his October 20th, or I'm not sure exactly what a day in October 2020. You can read those words for yourself. So accordingly, what's going on in the world is that we have three places, the three hotspots that are bringing humanity, which is upon us, known as the pandemic. There's no such thing. There is no pandemic. It doesn't exist. It's a false flag for the purposes of the Great Reset, which is put forward by the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab. And Klaus Schwab's Fourth Industrial Revolution, the book, you can read it and you can see the agenda plainly. So the pandemic is designed to distract humanity from the idea that they are going to ruin middle class, they are going to ruin businesses, and the idea will be to, and of course we're at that point now, where world debt is just out of control. So there will be this massive forgiveness of debt. No one will have a mortgage to pay or anything else, but they won't own anything, because they will then be going into blockchain, where everything is going to shift into computer-controlled society. And it's already in place in China. I believe there's 8 provinces in China where there's no more currency. It's just blockchain, and it's social credit. In other words, you get credits if you're a good person. You follow what you're told, and you get minuses, debits, if you don't toe the line. What we're seeing already is the discussion about health passports. And we see already that IBM is one of the leaders in developing a health pass, which is essentially going to be the barcode that you have to present in order to participate in society. Should you not possess such a health pass, you may be looking at internment camps, because suddenly you're now going to be a threat to others who have been vaccinated and you haven't. We know that the coronavirus is patented by Bill Gates and Mr. Fauci. As a result, no one in the world can isolate the virus nor purify it, because you can't have access to it. I have no proof, but I would suggest that coronavirus was manufactured in a lab in Wuhan, and be let go in selected places, one of them particularly being we saw mass of elderly people. So really, the situation is that we've always really been under this control of these three city states. London, where the Rothschilds really made their headway, the Bank of England, the Vatican, and Washington District of Columbia. You know also that Virginia, which is a commonwealth, not a state, and that commonwealth has a symbol and a motto. You can see it for yourself by just checking the Commonwealth of Virginia's symbol. When you Google it, it'll be up in the right-hand corner. And what you see is a woman in a Roman toga standing. Her foot is standing on a woman who is prone, appearing dead on the ground. And the woman is holding her hand on her heart. And the motto is "Sic Semper Tyrannis," thus always tyranny. When Abraham Lincoln was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth, he yelled, "Sic Semper Tyrannis," thus always tyranny. And of course, Abraham Lincoln was taken out because of greenbacks, because he was going to make the money system purely under the Constitution. But however, this was not. It was.
Okay, I think we might have a little bit of a bandwidth problem, Michael, and so I wanted to go over to Ian Trottier and just get Ian's reaction to what you've heard so far. And you've written several books about finance and economy, so take it from there.
Yeah, thanks, George. I've written a few articles, and I do have Freedom Reserve, No More Lies with Trine Day that's been on a contract for a couple of years now, and that's on pre-order right now to be releasing here, and hopefully in a few months. Just adding some new things because the world is rapidly changing, and then starting a new book. But everything that Michael is hitting on is absolutely concurrent with what I've been studying ever since being exposed to the Zika virus in Miami Beach in 2016. And that's the crux. That is where I began all of my doings in the sense of broadcasting and writing. There was this controversy about the Zika virus and the pesticide. And immediately I was led to a Stanford Hoover fellow that walked away from his fellowship because Stanford was censoring him. The name is Dr. Anthony Sutton. And he writes extensively about what Michael is talking about. He writes extensively about, for Americans to better understand, the corruption in the in institutions such as Yale University's fraternity known as Skull and Bones, which is a fraternal society directly linked by studies to this Jesuit Society of Jesus militaristic Catholic military order out of Germany, and a fellow named Adam Weishaupt. And many people argue that Adam Weishaupt and George Washington were possibly one and the same philosophically. But what Michael is talking about is something that Sutton writes about extensively, whereas the end justifies the means. But what Sutton speaks of is something called the Hegelian dialectic. And this is something that we would know today as something called liberation freedom theology. And the liberation freedom theology is completely Jesuit. But again, as Michael is saying, And John Perkins, who's been on my program, was contracted by the CIA to do exactly just these things, to go into government heads, to serve them a contract, pen and paper, and if they do not conform, then that leader of the nation, i.e. Panama or whatever it may be, is done with. The plan explodes. Something of that. Confessions of an Economic Hitman is what John Perkins wrote many, many, many years ago. So this type of practice of if you're unable to beat them fist to fist on the field is to infiltrate the government and completely change their society, take over their politics. And this is what we've seen happening in the United States now for well over 100 years, officially since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913 under Woodrow Wilson, which he later lamented. Now, Woodrow Wilson was the former president of Princeton University. This is why JFK was assassinated at Dealey Plaza, because he was trying to alleviate the United States of this federal monopoly, or excuse me, this monolistic monopoly. The Federal Reserve, for instance, says they have no gold, while the U.S. Treasury now says that they have no gold. These are the same things that Abraham Lincoln was fighting for, and as Michael said, because of the greenbacks, was assassinated. So people add up the economics. The United States, truly, since the inception of the Declaration of Independence of George Washington, has been under attack in this form since day one. Canada is very similar, but Canadians have a different, because they have a different type of contract. They have a different type of agreement that again leads back to Rome. And I just want to reiterate before, if we've got Michael back with us, and maybe you want to talk about this a little bit more, but I just want to reiterate here something very, very interesting and important for listeners to understand. Michael mentioned the three heads: Rome, City of London, and Washington, D.C. These are city states, and these are separate sovereign entities into the nations that they exist in. So the Vatican is its own nation. It's not part of Italy. The Bank of England, which resides in the City of London, is its own entity. It's its own nation. It's not part of the United Kingdom. And for listeners to understand, the Queen, as she still exists, has to report and has to ask permission to enter the City of London. I have this with Ronan Palin. He said that on my program. He teaches economics at the University of London. This is what many Brits have been speaking about for years, i.e. David Icke, Tony Gosling, Andy Thomas. They've been speaking about this and trying to, if you will, wake up the Brits in the UK. Again, the City of London is its own entity since William the Conqueror, 1066. The Bank of England was organized, I think, in the 1500s. But the City of London is a Roman banking instrument that has existed before the United Kingdom officially was created as we know it today. Washington, D.C. Was created on the same type of parallel. So that the nation's capital has existed in, of course, Philadelphia, we know that, and also in New York. But D.C. was created purposely so that it would be a sovereign state, and that economically it was subservient to outside influences. So economically, I argue on my program, economically, the United States has never received its independence. We've become independent geographically, and certainly we've built a massive military, and that's really the only thing that I feel that is protecting us and enabling us to communicate freely, because that military is so massive. But economically, we have been in strength. There's been 46 now presidents, arguably 46. There have been 46 presidents of this federation. This federal republic, it's not a democracy, it's a federal republic. There have been 46 presidents. Only one has left office without a federal debt, and that would be Andrew Jackson. He's the only one in 1843, I believe it was. He's the only president of this federation that has left the republic without a national debt. Every other president, including Trump, including Obama, all these other presidents simply sink this debt further into chaotic, out of control spin, and it's feeding right in, as Michael will talk about and allude to, it's feeding right into this globalist scheme that we see being managed from Switzerland, the Bank of International Settlements out of Basel, but really it's being managed by the Vatican. And the other thing, if Michael, you're hearing this, I want to get your word on this. The other thing that's very important here is that Pope Francis, I think is his name, the current Pope today. Pope Francis is the first, in the 500 years of the existence of the Society of Jesus, Pope Francis is the first pope to be a Jesuit. All other popes have not been Jesuit. There have been what Abraham Lincoln is quoted as talking about, a black pope and a white pope, which the white pope is the public figure. The black pope controls the finances. Pope Francis today is the first Jesuit white pope that existed. Anyway, so those are my thoughts on this. I completely agree with my research, and I have on my website, iantrottier.com, in the research tab, I have tons of literature, publications from academics, and what else that I use to support what I'm talking about. So if any viewers are in question of, is this valid or not, this is completely valid. This is completely accurate. Again, visit the research tab on my website to check this. They're all PDF. They're free accessible. There's no charge to that. So anyway, so if Michael's back, go back to you, George. Those are my current thoughts.
Well, that's great. And I'm sorry, I got your book is in pre-sale and with Chris Milligan at Trine Day.
Yeah.
And so go to www.iantrottier.com to get those PDFs. So let's switch back to Michael. And you've had a little bit of a time to kind of pick us up to now. You know, your lawsuit is in full flight. You gave us some great background. Can you kind of pick it up from where we lost your connection in Peru there? Can you hear me, Michael?
Yeah, I can you hear me all right? Yeah,
yes,
can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, all right, fine. Well, I can tell you that what happened to our lawsuit right off the bat was that it was given to a judge who ruled a civil procedure deemed our action to be frivolous, vexatious, and abuse of the court. Protest and tossed without any pleas from out any notice to us. They just tossed it. So we appealed to the Ontario Court of Appeal, and as of Thursday, I filed my book and my memorandum of fact and law. And the Crown, that is Canada and Ontario, now have 30 days within which to reply to that statement. We're also contemplating a statement of claim, a class action on behalf of children. Because children are essentially under torture at this point, given the protocols and lockdowns and the masking and all this stuff. We're also doing class action on behalf of frontline nurses who have come out and called this a scam, saying that the propaganda about filled hospitals and ICUs and all of this is PA. And four of them, who are the leaders of the frontline nurses, have been all fired and are now being investigated by the College of Nurses. They signed up to 2 nurses already who are prepared to tell the truth. We have a nursing room doctor who resigned his privileges in Tehal so that he could speak the truth. His name is Dr. Trotzi, Trozzi. And you can find that website, and all he has to say about the definition of pandemic, the hoax of the PCR test, which is not a test, it's a tool. And that test is useless. Cycles are set above 25. And pretty well all PCR tests are set at 35 or 40. And of course the vaccine, well, the vaccine, by virtue of the filing companies themselves with the Securities and Exchange Commission, do not identify their product as a vaccination. They identify their product as a therapy experiment. The International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, Article 7, says that no one shall be subject to a medical experiment without prior informed consent. Of course, we don't even hear about the prior and informed consent. You know, SARS was really supposed to be the pandemic. SARS fizzled. The medical workers used to do the vaccination. So they had to put their plans aside. Event 201 is event 201. And just as an aside here, event 201, why the number 201? The number, it's a numbers game. If you read Zachary Hubbard, the numbers game, you'll get what his thesis is. And his thesis is that the agenda is found in But, and particularly, we're now in Revelation, and the agenda is designed to promote the apocalypse. This is what the agenda is about. Everything is done with numbers. 9/11, for instance, is a perfect example of how all these things line up with Freemasonry and Jesuitry, all done by numbers. And their plan from 9/11 has so many numbers that line up. But I'm not the expert on that. Zachary Hubbard sure is. And I highly recommend to you and your listeners the reading of Zachary Hubbard's book.
Okay, Michael.
201 refers to the Jesuits.
Just pause for a second, Michael, because we are having a little bit of, from Peru, it's a little bit of a propagation delay. So just pause there for 1 second. I want to go back to Ian. Ian, you're kind of in the middle of all this. You were in Oklahoma last week with all these great minds on the alt-right. You do your reporting, do a little summary of what you found out with regard to coronavirus from Tulsa last week.
Well, in regards to the coronavirus, there's various forms of coronavirus. In fact, the Zika, H1N1, the swine flu, these are all forms of the coronavirus. The COVID-19 is perhaps the most developed form of the coronavirus or a coronavirus. It seems to be manipulated in the laboratory, be it Fort Detrick. And for listeners to think, oh, it can never happen in the United States. Well, look, folks, there's plenty of Brigadier General Robert Spalding's been a previous guest on mine on my show. There's plenty of military personnel that have said that our military and our government are infiltrated. And infiltrated from a stealth enemy, and again, it's an enemy that is here. And if you want to go to the basics, 1913, Woodrow Wilson signing the Federal Reserve Act. That's the infiltration period, meaning that the economy is in the hands of a private banking organization that Ron Paul has been fighting for decades to say, hey, it needs to be audited. It's not audited. So in regards to the coronavirus or the COVID-19 form of the coronavirus. There's really nothing that Richard Bartlett is an MD out of Texas that has a lot to say about that. Dr. Carla Dean Graves, I interviewed her and she goes in extensive research and science in regards to this. And there's a number, Judy Mikovits, I think I just mentioned her, that she's a virologist, PhD, I'm almost sure of it. There's a number of very well credentialed high-level academic minds that say that really support what Michael just said, that this COVID-19 form of a coronavirus is really in a large sense of things, it's an economic hoax to enslave folks, to abolish and crush the middle class, to enslave folks into a digitized currency. So George, what I really want to reiterate, and I spoke to Mike Lindell, and people of that nature have the financial backing to certainly make waves felt. But I asked him. I says, "What's the best foot forward for America?" And he says, "Look, I'm so involved in exposing the corruption in the Dominion server and those voting frauds. And if you go to a public search engine like Google or Brave, and you simply type in Rockefeller voting machine fraud, you'll be led to IBM machines. You'll be led to so many sources, so many examples of this decades long systematic approach to going into countries and like Venezuela and overthrowing the government. It really comes down to a central bank. So Mike Lindell says, look, I am right now concentrated on exposing the fraud in the Dominion server. That was his best foot forward right now, Mike Lindell. We had an election stolen. I mean, that's my opinion. There's no way. I don't believe that Joe Biden got 80 million votes. I just is my own personal belief. I do not believe he got 80 million votes.
Probably anybody does.
I don't. I think there's a lot of people out there that do, obviously, but I don't. There was a Miami-Dade PD, a 100-mile-long train of Cubans and Venezuelans supporting Trump, because the Cubans and Venezuelans, primarily in South Florida, they know what's happening here. They know this is a communist and socialistic takeover of the country that stands for freedom. We're the last beacon of hope. We're the last beacon of hope, really. And so that's what's happening here. Our history's being, our statues being torn down, our history's being, but this is coming to a head at a fast pace, I believe, because it's a double-edged sword, right? Because the internet is a means for communication and information to be passed very quickly. Yeah, well, at the same tune, people are getting the message very quickly that there's something awry. So what I do, George, is I follow the banking lines. I follow the money. All roads lead to Rome, of course. But Nixon abolished the gold standard in 1971. Why is it that there's no gold? You look at the Roman Empire. The denarius fell because their currency of exchange, the coins that they were so greatly devalued over the course of these various emperors that they had ruling them, or popes. Again, it was a combination of church and state. You look at Mexico and you look at how they were not prosperous, whereas we were prosperous to the north. Well, because we separated church and state. Countries like Mexico combined church and state so that tithes and taxes went to the same place. Of course, it goes to the monarch, but above the monarch is the pope. And that's what's been different about the United States, is that we haven't been reporting to the Pope in a direct line like countries like Mexico. It's been a little bit blurred, and so that's been enabled us to build a stronger middle class. But I will say this: Carla Dean Graves, Dr. Carla Dean Graves, I asked her if she'd be getting the vaccine, and I'm assuming that most of your listeners by now are probably anti-vaccine. Or certainly questioning the validity of something that's not even approved by the FDA and is simply an injection and not a vaccination. She says as many reports are saying, even Mike Adams is saying through his research, that this is a DNA altering compilation of whatever it is, of these various strains of viruses. I also want to point, Michael talked about Zachary Hubbard, and he does great work out of the Northwest up in Oregon. He talks about numerology and gematria, whatever the pronunciation is, and some of these numbers adding up. Many practices in the Kabbalah and Judaism go into this. This guy's on the money, whatever he's been talking about, and I've known of him now for a few years. Whatever he's on, I urge your listeners to check out what he's been doing, because he does do very good work. I wanted to say that, because I heard, and you're the first person, Michael, that I've heard mention the name Zachary Hubbard. YouTube keeps continuously deplatforms this guy. He keeps getting deplatformed. Anyway, so those are my quick thoughts. I look more, George, at the banking end of things, and even General Flynn. You know, I had a chance to ask the general. I says, in a roundabout way, what's the best foot forward? And he said very, very blatantly, before he went on stage, which is in a private room with some select folks that had a media pass to access the general. And he says, the greatest threat to to America freedom is the family. The family's been under fire. The family nucleus is being broken up, and I totally reiterate that, because there's really nothing more productive and more important than the progress of any civilization than a tight-knit, strong, honest, trusting family unit, and that's being washed away in the United States right now, and in the world.
Thank you very much for the update, Ian. And I want to go back and see if our Peru connection is back. Michael, you had some good graphics go up there supporting your statements. It sounds like you were turned away by the court, and so you went to an appeal on your first class action. I unfortunately did a class action against the DNC, so I know how much work it is. And I then went on to do the FBI and CIA, so I do know it's a lot of work. And then you had a nurses class action, and then it sounded like you also had a children's class action. Do you want to pick up one of those three threads from there and just talk about the way forward?
Sure, I just want to pick up on something. All right.
Yeah.
Can you hear me, right? One of the things that Ian said about the family. Yesterday, we were in an international call with Rainer Fulnitsch from Germany, who is one of the main leaders in the legal circles who are taking on COVID-19. And we were talking to a lawyer in Chile who advised that there is legislation being proposed to take authority away from the parents and put the authority over children into quite a chilling statement. We've also heard a rumor in Canada that the province of Quebec was contemplating this same kind of legislation, which would see the authority over children taken away from so that this insidious nature of the elitist's plan against humanity, which is really a crime against humanity, is picking up pace. And I just wanted to underscore what Ian said about the family. This is going to be one of the most egregious things that we're going to see. In relation to the children's class section, we're also talking with international lawyers to band together and bring in action in an international forum. We haven't really decided on that forum yet. It could be the International Human Rights Tribunal, it could be another. But it's to band together and bring an international class action on behalf of children and demonstrate, hopefully, wake up parents who are witness themselves the damage that's occurring with their children, but may not understand what we're talking about, may not agree with what we're about, may find that authority actually knows what it's talking about and they're prepared to follow it. But we view the situation with children as being dire at this point. Suicide, mental health problems, physical problems with masks and sanitizing. I mean, can you imagine always inhaling what it is that you're supposed to exhale. And in addition to which, the mask is absolutely useless against any kind of virus. So we need to bring to the world's attention the plight of the children. And the plight of the children is beyond what I said. They're operating on a diet of fear. And that diet of fear is designed to bring about a lockstep. You'll find that in the 2010 Rockefeller document, wherein what is happening to humanity right now is discussed. So all of these things have been a long, long time in the making. These plans that we're talking about have been over the course of many years. What Ian has referred to as the 1913 takeover of the United States through the Federal Reserve System just fits in perfectly with the agenda of the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the elitists. We've not really mentioned the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned the country about when he left his presidency, telling Americans to beware of the military-industrial complex. Well, it's here. It's upon you. And the idea that you live in a free and democratic society is absolutely not, it's not there. We do not have a free and democratic society. What we hope to do with these class actions is, number one, education. Because when you write these words down and you put it on paper and you put it in a public forum such as a court, everyone can have access to it. Everyone can read the word. Despite the fact that the judiciary everywhere, I believe, may be infiltrated, may be in a situation where the mantra is, well, the science doesn't really mean anything because we perceive that there is a pandemic and therefore we're going to implement measures for your health. We're here to protect your health. It's one of the sayings said in Nazi 1930, we're here to protect your health. It's the same one. 1933, the Nazis, the Nazis put in a law euthanizing disabled people. We're headed to the same kind of undertaking because the Nazis never left. Operation Paperclip was the John Dulles and the OSS, which was the precursor to the CIA, get out top Nazis that they wanted and put them throughout the world, South America, Canada, United States, everywhere. NASA is essentially founded by scientists from the Nazi regime. So the Nazis haven't left, they're back. They're back doing their evil things. But the core, the agenda of the elitists, if it weren't for the Pope in Rome, Hitler never would have come to power because there were districts that controlled by Rome that were essential in his rise to power. When the Nazis were trying to flee out of Germany after the Second World War, the route was over the Alps into Rome. Because as Ian said, all roads lead to Rome. Within the framework of doing class actions, we're able to gather more under the class actions that will allow for a broader understanding of what the situation is. One of the tenets of class actions is behavior modification. And of course, that's what we are talking about here. We need to bring about behavior modification because the behavior of the elitists is designed to bring about depopulation. That's really what the vaccination program is all about. It's all about depopulation. Eugenics is something that came out of the Rockefellers in the 1920s. We have to remember in the 20s, Bill Gates, the WHO, a pharmaceutical company that's no longer in business, with the idea of giving a tetanus shot to women and girls, sterilized 500,000 women and girls in Kenya. We all know, or should know, that the head of WHO was the head of security forces in Ethiopia who are charged with genocidal practices in 2013-2015. And right after that, he's appointed in 2017 as the head of the conference in its first declaration of the so-called pandemic, used the following phrase in its order in council, which is legislation from the prime minister and his cabinet. And the order in council, the beginning of it reads, due to a pandemic declared by the WHO. So immediately putting it right in front of everyone, the idea that all of this emanates from the WHO and the World Economic Forum, and that therefore the assault on Handy emanates from what we've discussed here today, the three city states, the WHO, the World Economic Forum, and the elitists led by Rothschild and Rockefeller undertakings.
Okay, so let's pause right there, Michael. We do have a little bit of problem with the connection to Peru, so we'll let your connection kind of get some more juice. Let's go back to Ian, and I just wanted to get your comments. He's striking on a lot of themes here with the WHO, with Tedros being a war criminal. He is not a doctor, somehow comes up meteorically through the whole, he becomes the health minister of Ethiopia. He's
Tedros has been, research shows that Tedros has been in bed with Bill Gates for a number of years out of Ethiopia. And there's something is happening in Africa. Look, Cecil Rhodes was attempting to build a railroad to connect North and South Africa, and what stopped him was Lake Victoria. I don't believe in coincidences. So when I first started looking into the Zika virus and the pesticide that was sprayed to combat the Zika virus, Ricky Rosseo over in Puerto Rico rejected the shipment of Nail It because he was saying it was a known, from my understanding, and I invited him on my show, and I got to some of his staff members, just unable to have him a schedule to get him on the program. But my understanding was that it's a, well, this is in fact, but there is the reason he rejected the shipment of Nail It from the WHO in 2016 to combat the Zika virus is because they known neurotoxin. Studies out of Sweden show that it itself causes microcephaly. I have this in writing from PhDs, MDs out of Lancet, UK, New England Journal of Medicine. There is no direct link that shows Zika as causing microcephaly. However, there is a direct study out of Oslo that shows that the pesticide known as Dibrom or Nalid, both interchangeable, cause microcephaly. That is the shrinkage of the developing fetus. The head is born very small to a normal sized body. This was happening in 2016 in Brazil, primarily in Recife. So something was going on there. And when I linked the dots that the Rockefeller owned a patent on the Zika virus, and I think what they own is the extraction process from a monkey's brain. This is in the Uganda forest, which is right there around Lake Victoria. They have research laboratories that they have funded since the 1930s, 1940s. They own that extraction process. That's, again, public information on the search engine, Google. ATCC, it happens to be a British laboratory. So should you have the scientific credentials to desire a vial of the Zika virus, then the ATCC, I'm sure, will gladly send that to your laboratory. Now, the Rockefeller also owned the largest amount of shares in the Chevron Chemical Corporation in the 1950s that produced the pesticide that was being used in 2016 to combat the Zika virus. So the Rockefellers manipulating or having dabbing in both the virus that had hit South Florida via Brazil and also the pesticide. So Rick Scott, where's the NDA? Where's the request for proposal from Rick Scott? How do we know that he wasn't somehow cashing in on selling Miami-Dade all these gallons or whatever it may have been of the pesticide that I personally saw with my own eyes? I'd hear it buzz over my head. It would dip down and spray the population. I saw this in 2016. This was happening. So, of course, you're thinking chemtrails and that sort of thing. This is a documented Air Force term from the early 1990s. Chemtrails is not any theory. So finding the Rockefellers involved in both of those situations, again, I was led to Anthony Sutton that gave a speech in 1972 in Miami Beach, was reprimanded for the information that he divulged. And one of the books he writes is Federal Reserve Conspiracy. He doesn't say theory, he says conspiracy. So if you conspire to do something, you are actually conspiring with a group of people to overthrow a government, to overthrow a corporation. That is a conspiratory act, a conspiracy. It's not a theory. The CIA coined that term, from my understanding, and threw in the theory to kind of throw people that are questioning the normal narrative, throw them off and make them sound ridiculous. Well, there's nothing ridiculous about it. And so what I want to say about what Michael had just said is that one of the reasons Sutton was being pinpointed while researching at the Hoover Institute, and of course, imagine yourself, unless you are one, imagine yourself working for Stanford University as a Hoover Fellow. That's a pretty lucrative position. It's one of the nicer research positions globally, certainly in the United States. So here's a man that walks away from that position because he knows the truth about what he's writing about, and Stanford is trying to censor him. And one of the things that he was writing about in the early 70s, and I want your listeners to research a guy named Dr. Peter Beter. That's a PhD doctorate, economic doctorate. He was a economist under JFK, and I'll get back to that in one second. But what Sutton was talking about in Palo Alto was that Prescott Bush was financing the Nazi regime through the Union Bank. And this is fact. This is congressional record. We find that. The United States Congress tried Union Bank and charged them with trading with the enemy. And Prescott Bush, he wasn't tried himself because it was an LLC or whatever. It was a corporation. It wasn't him. It was the corporation that was trading with the enemy. So Prescott Bush gets off, and we know his son and grandson had the politics out of the Oval Office, two former presidents. But we know that Prescott Bush's bank, the Union Bank, an American corporation, is funding Nazi Germany. Another example of what Sutton was talking about was that the United States Air Force the German Air Force, the Luftwaffe. Luftwaffe was flying General Motors planes with General Motors engines in them that could only run off of Standard Oil engineered gasoline. So, having family in the UK, essentially what I wrote back across the pond there was that, hey, when London was being bombed by the Nazis, they were being bombed by American ingenuity, and Americans knew about it. Maybe not the American public, but certainly the American banking Wall Street knew about it. And this predates even World War II. This goes back to the Bolshevik Revolution. Again, that's why I pinpoint that 1913 date, which World War I started just a few years after that 1913 date of the Federal Reserve founding. Wall Street has known about funding the enemy for decades and decades and decades. So getting back to Dr. Peter Beter, Peter Beter was talking about Fort Knox. And it might sound cliche, but here's the facts. Our currency today does not have an intrinsic value to it. It is a fiat currency. There is no use to it. It's worthless. That's why I believe and I know that this global scheme is working so hard to digitize the currency. And that means that we as people, our information, we become the value. Well, that's contradictory to any great civilization where the value is all in gold and silver. But the United States currency has no intrinsic value. Dr. Peter Beter was talking about this in the 1970s after JFK had gotten his head blown off for, again, trying to get U.S. Treasury certificates backed off of silver in the vault into circulation. And he achieved that. And he was dead within a few weeks or months. But Peter Beter was talking about how the Rockefeller, okay, this isn't theory according to Beter, how the Rockefeller had hijacked the money or the gold out of Fort Knox and sold it to the IMF, which then I would imagine ended up in Switzerland in Basel, who knows, or maybe it's in London. And if some of these things add up historically, we think, hey, we've seen this on TV before. Maybe we've seen something like this, a James Bond movie, Goldfinger, or maybe we've seen this fiasco in DC with the horned guy. We saw that on The Simpsons, or maybe we've seen some of these things play out years ahead in media. That's because the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, in my belief, purposely scripts these types of things. And grains these things in our minds, and then they roll out years later. Zachary Hubbard talks about that. I haven't hosted him on my show, but I know his work. He talks about that at length. So the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, is a political think tank based in Manhattan, Upper East Side, which runs the mechanics of Wall Street, and that's been happening for decades in the United States. So my last comment on this, George, is if viewers, wherever they are around the world, whether they're in Peru, maybe they're in China, maybe in Australia, wherever they are around the world, most of the countries around the world operate off of a central bank. Why this is a global scheme is because all of the central banks globally, they all feed into the Bank of International Settlements in Switzerland, in Basel. The United States has a central bank. It's called the Federal Reserve Bank. Ron Paul, like I said, has been asking for that bank to be audited now for decades. It doesn't get audited. We do not know who the shareholders are. It is my presumption that a man like and Bill Gates does indeed own shares of the Federal Reserve. It's manipulated by this international banking scheme. It does not have America at the best interest. It could care less about your constitution. Paul Craig Roberts, past guest of my show, economic advisor for Reagan, said right now, we simply do not have any constitutional rights. They are done with in the United States. But again, if this central banking Ponzi scheme, as what it appears to be, continues to operate, all countries around the world will be forced and all of its citizens will be forced to operate off of their game and not what the George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Patrick Henry Constitution has given the American people. That frankly, Americans need to start sounding the alarm rapidly about this, because it is being taken away. The Canadians are our friend, as long as they understand exactly what Michael is talking about. So that's what I have to say at the moment, George, in regards to how listeners can kind of put the pieces together on a global scale. It all resides in the power of this central banking scheme, and like Michael is saying, that feeds right into the Vatican. Here's another example of how to understand that. The Swiss Pontificate Guard is the personal bodyguard of the. It is the Vatican's army. So the Vatican is maneuvering all of their economic strings. And think about all the Catholic Church. And I'm not saying that Catholicism is bad, and I'm not saying that Catholics are bad. What I am saying is that the Society of Jesus, from everything that I've been able to research, is definitely manipulating global economics, and that may not be in the best interest of the Catholic viewers out there. It might be contrary to their own personal beliefs, and it's being done through this mask, this economic mask of Switzerland. So maybe Michael has some comments about that, but those are my thoughts at the moment.
Well, great. I think we're coming up to the top of the hour. So what we'll do here is kind of wrap and just get, I think we've scratched the surface here for the next episode, because we all want to learn more and dig. That's what our channel is. It's about researchers who dig. They're citizen journalists. So if we could just wrap the show with Michael giving us websites or resources we could go to, Twitter, to get more information about the lawsuits that are in play. And then, Ian, I'll follow up with you about your website again. So go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, Elders Without Borders. Like it sounds, elders, like indigenous elders, elderswithers.ca. And that will allow you to keep up with what we're doing and lessons.
And we're going to bring it up here. Is this the correct website right here? Michael? Got a little bit of
yes.
Okay,
that's
great.
It. You got it.
Okay, so we'll remember, because you're wearing the color.
Yes, that's it.
Okay, Peruvian sweaters, and the folks down there in Peru are wearing the same colorful stuff, so we'll pick it up from there. And now if we can go to www.iantrottier.com and just go to his site here really quickly. So I see all the different websites. Ian, why don't you pick up your organization, your website here really quick?
Yeah, great. So that landing page shows a select number of guests that I've had on the show over the past few years. And the tabs there on the top, the one that says the why gives a explanation as to what I experienced during the Zika virus outbreak in Miami Beach. That clip right there, that YouTube clip, shows me being interviewed by Michelle Gillen, who was a reporter for CBS at the time. I tell the Miami people at 5 o'clock news that the local politicians were puppets. This is in 2016. The research tab there has all of the Anthony Sutton books there. They're available free PDF. Please research that. There's some incredible information in there that'll be very, very helpful. Back on my landing page is a link to my book. I urge you to please pre-order a copy of that. It's actually written. It's just the publisher and I have agreed to add a couple things. So I've got Servando Gonzalez contributing to that. He's a Cuban-born historian that resides in the United States, and he said on my show, actually from a show I did in Canada, he said on my show that what happened under the Fidel Castro regime is exactly what's taking place in the United States today. That's a Cuban-born historian, Servando Gonzalez. I Dare Call It Treason is one of his books. So he's contributing now. I've gone back and he's going to contribute to Freedom Reserve, No More Lies. And then what I want to say finally, George, is really when I heard Michael speak about what he's doing as far as suing the World Health Organization. I says, dude, that guy's on the right track, because again, all of the things add up. If you it takes listeners a moment to kind of go back through history and think, okay, why is it that I'm here today, where I am, and how did I get here, and who are the people that paved the way? So that's kind of where I gave my information, George, about me coming from this guy Trottier, Giles Trottier, that landed in Quebec in 1646. Well, we also know that in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, right? And Michael, on some other stuff that I've heard him talk about, talks about Pizarro and writing and working deals, Papa Bulls, it may be. I'm not sure Michael can clarify, but that might be another episode. The Recomiento that he wrote. Again, these are the Europeans that landed in North and South America, and what were they doing to the natives, right? Where are the natives' voices in all of this, right? I mean, we are all being fed. We're all feeding this system that we've inherited, or we have inherently redesigned or retweaked, i.e. the U.S. Constitution via the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, right? Through the men and women, primarily men, unfortunately, it's just the way it is, that landed and came across these oceans and landed on these shores centuries before us. So that is the system that we're feeding into. And what I'm getting to is this, a book called Divine Providence, which was written by James McBride and also co-written by Ed Ryken. And Ed Ryken is based out of British Columbia. He's a Canadian, similar to Michael, that really goes deep into these Roman roots, the political systems that we have created that are all based biblically, if you will, off of this system that comes out of Rome. Lastly, I'm just going to say this. Oxford and Cambridge, primarily, and even Harvard for that matter, in my belief, are all based off of Greek philosophies. You're talking Aristotle, Plato. These are not based off of Roman philosophies. These are based off of Greek philosophies. And one of the things that always intrigued me was Greek history, meaning just those philosophies and not so much the Roman. So we are dealing with something on a global scale that men and women before us have been fighting, Joan of Arc, have been fighting Cleopatra years and years and centuries before us, but it's the same fight. You draw any conclusion that you like in regards to that. But again, what I do at the end of the day is I say, hey, follow the money, and if it's unjust and it's corrupt, I want to get to the bottom of it, because I appreciate the freedoms that I live under in the United States. And look, the devices we're all communicating on, once that device can be minusculized, and if that can be inserted into the vaccine and inserted into the human being, then that means that device inside the bloodstream or inside the blood-brain barrier, wherever it may have been, can emit communication with satellites globally. So something's going on, and I commend both of you and all the viewers for doing exactly what they're doing.
Well, great. I want to thank our guests for this special Saturday edition of the BlackBerry Roadshow, and I want to thank the great Andy Dabala for working the board and bringing up the websites that the guests mentioned. I'd like to bring you Andy Dabala. He's got to type so fast because both speakers are so good and they have so many great information that he's always one website behind. But the big thing we want to do is in the visual record, get what the guests are saying verbally, and then get that up, shot of that screen, so that you could go back later and freeze frame the video and get to Michael's website about elders, or the children's website and lawsuit below that, or get to Ian's different things. I think the one thing I enjoyed about Ian's website so much is just go look at the guests he's had. Go look at the guests he's had on his show there. Maybe Andy will have time to show that. They're amazing. He's got Stephen Kinzer with all the, Stephen Kinzer has a book, Overthrow, that I'm reading right now. Stephen Kinzer also has the great book on Poisoner in Chief that may have some overtones with our Macduff hero. And the Dulles brothers, he wrote The Brothers. Look at some of these guests. Cynthia McKinney, of course, Troy Hartman. Let's see, some of these other folks. So we want to definitely follow up with all of these folks.
John Barber.
John Barber, yeah, there's John Barber on there. Any one of these, Jordan Maxwell, I see on there, who's kind of a favorite. Any of these, do you want to just comment one last comment on which one was your favorite or which one you remember the best?
I, you know, I, yeah, they're all brilliant people, and they all make incredible contributions. The reason I do what I do is because I literally felt I was fending for my life, and we're fending for our lives here. Our lives are at stake, and when our airspace is invaded and in a pollutant, a neurotoxin that's shown to be so out of the study out of Sweden, and there's an airplane that emits this crap, excuse my language, into our atmosphere, and we're forced to breathe it. Well, we have no other choice but to speak out and to reveal this corruption and this research. All of these guests have been absolutely incredible and great, and I feel like I can approach, as George, you know, I feel like I can approach any of these guests and write to them or ask them a favor, and I'm sure that they would all be interested in hearing from any of the viewers. We're all in this together, and we're all fighting the same fight, and that's simply to speak freely and retain some of these freedoms. Jordan Maxwell, you talk about Jordan Maxwell. Jordan Maxwell is an incredible figure, and he's been talking out against this cabal, if you will, this banking cabal. He's been doing it now for 60 years. He's now, I think, close to 80, if not 80. This is the conclusion that he even reached, and he even mentioned when I had him on my show. It was exactly what has been reiterated here today. If you're going to be pointing fingers anywhere, if you're going to be looking down any important avenue or any important road, that would be what's happening behind the lines in Rome. Okay, you think that may not be important to Americans, but ask yourself, why is it, Ron Paul, why is it that the Federal Reserve Bank, and George, I asked a senator from Texas, Pete Sessions, I sat down with him in a hotel lobby, and I asked him square in the eye, says, hey, regardless of Democrat or Republican sitting in the Oval Office, do you find it interesting how the federal debt continues to spiral out of control? And he says, Ian, you know, that's a really good question. And there's a lot of us up on the Hill. This is in December. There's a lot of us up on the Hill that are worried about that. And can you send me information? And then I went on and I says, Pete, this is Pete Sessions out of Texas. I says, Pete, do you realize that the Federal Reserve Bank is not a federal government institution? He said he didn't know that. Okay, so there's frankly many of us in the country that just don't ask enough questions, and we don't ask enough questions, and we don't ask for answers enough, and we need to start asking and answering these questions. So if all roads aren't leading to Rome, let's prove it. Let's prove it. And the first thing we can do is figure out who the shareholders are of the Federal Reserve Bank. That's what's within our power as Americans. We can demand those answers because we are living under a constitution that we can defend ourselves from. We have Second Amendment right, okay, that's being infringed upon. But we have these rights right now, and we need to use those rights, and we need to start asking some answers. So if all roads aren't leading to Rome, prove us wrong, just like Michael is saying in Canada, okay? Prove them wrong. If the Queen of England is not heading the coronavirus task force over Canada, prove her wrong. And how do we find those answers? Well, again, transparency is important, and there is not transparency in the banking system, and it's manipulating, in my opinion, through the CFR and other organizations, by the Trilateral Commission and Bilderberg Group. There's a bunch of them out there that allude to this. But we need to start asking questions, and we need to start demanding answers. And that's what we can do. That is what is within our power. We can't necessarily control what's happening in Rome. We can't necessarily control what's happening with the Pope or what's happening with the monarchies or whatever's happening. But we can control what's happening in the United States. And if that election was corrupt, let's get Congress talking about this right now again.
Well, excellent. I had the chance of interviewing Jordan Maxwell with my associate in Los Angeles, Peter Duke, one night on a radio show, which was a lot of fun. We don't have to all agree, but it's a theater of ideas. It's a marketplace of ideas. It's at least people still with holding on to that last thread of First Amendment. I want to thank our guests, Michael Swinwood down there in Peru, Thanks for hanging in there despite our tenuous connection. And I want to thank Ian. Where are you right now, Ian? You back in California?
I'm in Miami. I'm in Florida.
Oh, you're back in Florida doing a story. Okay. Well, we'll follow Ian, and we'll see you all on Monday. Thanks again, Alan, Andy DiBala. Thanks, Aaron Adler, and all the other correspondents for this whole week of great shows, all the great journals that we've had all over the road. And we'll see you on Monday noon back to the BlackBerry Roadshow. Thank you, guests.